guess this is the fourth game I'm coming here. Was very active back in the 1980s. I was a daily AM guy every day. And then, you know, it comes and goes, but I was off the air for a few years. And now, about a year and a half ago, I started to get the bug again, and has been getting increasingly involved in this this old gear. I'm an old gear AMer. So I kept my old station that I had for years, which is a lot of stuff. And now my goal is to get it to work again. And that's proven to be a big task. Well, I was just tinkering with the BC610 tonight. It's got some old glitches in it. It's still got some old glitches in it. But I'm getting closer. And it's a cool old transmitter. You know, big clunky relays and little talk back from it. It's a very primitive and you can tell the transmitter's working there. So anyway, I got a collection of stuff here that someday I'll get it all working again. But you know, there's so many people on AM. It seems like the AM group is much larger than it was back 10 or 20 years ago. And AM sort of become a much more significant part of ham radio in general. You know, not so many stations on the band anymore. A good number of them are operating this mode. So I'm enjoying my AM radio comeback tour here. KC2IFR from K3
W3EMD.
All right, very good, Charlie. Was there a breaker in there?
Yeah, we've seen 3 Echo, Mike, Delta. Whiskey 3 Echo, Mike, Delta, Delta.
Right, Whiskey 3 Echo, Mike, Delta. I'm not going to stay in here too much longer. All right, Charlie, nice to talk to you. Well, Charlie, this is my number 2 AM station. This is a very, very, very highly modified Johnson 500. My main station, Charlie, is a transmitter. It's a 4-1000 modulated by a pair of 833s. That's my main AM station. And right now, I've got a rip on it. It's working, but I've got some problems that I have to take care of. And so I'm using this transmitter. And I try to outrun this. I love this Johnson transmitter. But again, it's highly modified. I won't get into it. I won't tell what's going on with it. And also, Charlie, I'm using a lot of broadcast audio processing. And that also works very good. All right, I'm not going to stay in here. I gotta go. I got some stuff I have to do tomorrow. And I have to get up early to take care of some stuff. But Charlie, it was great hearing you. Charlie, I have a receiver on my computer upstairs. That's where I first heard you. I have a Wynn radio, my G303 computer receiver, which is on my computer upstairs, and that's when I first heard you. Anyway, I won't get into that right now. Anyway, the breaking station, go ahead. And Charlie, great to hear you. Hopefully we can talk again. Breaking station, go ahead. This is Kilowatt Charlie 2, India, Foxtrot Radio.
Very good. KC2IFR. KC2IFR and is it W3YA or did I get that call right? Whiskey 3 Echo Mike Delta. Whiskey 3 Echo Mike Delta. Hi, good evening. Buzz like a buzzsaw. Give me a second just to check the dials here because I changed the frequency. I'm going to do that with this rig. There's about 6 million dials to adjust. I think it's working. My name is Buzz, B-U-Z-Z, Buzz like a buzzsaw. The QTH is near Rhinebeck, New York. That's like the River Rhine in Germany, B-E-C-K, Rhinebeck. And that's about 100 miles up the Hudson River from New York City, if you're familiar with the area at all. And hearing both of you very, very nicely at the moment. Let me turn it over to W3YA. KC2IFR, I didn't get the handle. Again, my name is Buzz, like a buzzsaw. W3Y, and I'm using a Collins KW1 and a 75A4. W3YA with KC2IFR, W3EMD. Go ahead.
Yeah, W3EMD. Buzz from K3YA. I guess Bill is signing out, but I'll give him a chance to say when he has any last comments here. And, nice to meet you here, Buzz. KW1 sounds great. Fine old transmitter. Something I guess I had the opportunity to get a couple of them many years ago, back before the prices went up, and I will forever regret not doing that. Can't afford one now. You're doing a good job down here. My name is Charlie, down near Washington, D.C., in Maryland, North Washington, D.C., in Silver Spring, Maryland. And I'm running a PC610 and R388 receiver in the backbone. And Bill, if you're still listening, I'd love to hear about your 41,000 transmitter someday. I have a 41,000 right here. It's a 41,000 modulated by a pair of B33As. There's a 4 6B4 G's driving the B33As. It's built it up about 30 years ago. And it was working up until a couple of days ago. Right now it's got a problem with the screen supply, but I use that occasionally. It's kind of powerful, so I only use it on special occasions, but it's a good radio for me over the years. Anyway, let me turn it back to you, Buzz, but drag your feet in case Bill has any last comments. W3EMD, K3YA.
I guess not. Drag my feet a little bit there and didn't hear him. A little bit of strange up here. I don't know exactly what it is. Hold on 1 second. I'm watching the modulation here and I see some funny stuff on it. I'm not sure exactly what it is. I'm seeking something I'm getting in somewhere. I wonder if you hear any hum or anything, or is that just a function of my scope? Do you hear anything, any 60 cycle on the signal, Charlie? Go ahead.
Well, don't hear any 60 cycle here. If it's there, it's really low.
Yeah, okay, I see it on the scope, and I never didn't see it before. And I haven't really changed anything here, so I don't know. The problem is, this is a weekend-only station. Home QTH is down in New York City, and I just get up here on weekends. And so the rig has sat unused for a week, and you never know what's going to happen when you turn around. Maybe a little bit more juice here. Okay, on the BC610. Oh, I haven't talked to BC610 probably in 40 years. I was inactive for about 25 years and just probably about on the air and enjoying it very, very much. Got back on the air when we got this QTH. And started off with a Elecraft K3, which is quite a contrast from the other equipment. And serendipitously, just last year, about 5 months ago, came into 75S1 and 32V3, either of them in working condition, and got them for almost zero. put them back together,
got them working,
and started fooling around a bit on AM here. And then this QW1 came on the market and just picked it up about a month ago. It belongs to AB2EZ, as you know, too, over in Kernastown, New Jersey. And he is moving to a smaller place and decided he wanted to make his shack a little bit smaller. So I've become, I guess, more of a custodian than the owner of this rig. You feel like, you know, you feel like you got a piece of historical artifact in the shack rather than a transmitter. Although it works, seems to be working just fine now. It's 4400s in the final now, instead of the 4250s. Very lightly. Got the voltage down to just 2100 volts instead of 2500 volts. And running about 300 mils of plate current instead of the 400, which is the full load. So running about 600 watts of input power. And that gives me just about 375 out. So if that's what you're supposed to do, that's what I'm doing. And went out to Dayton and got this nice little scope by Regal, a digital scope. And at this moment, seeing some strange things on it. I think it's just the scope. I think it's the pickup. I'll have to go see what's happening here. Right on Silver Spring, I know the area very well. I lived in South Alexandria for a while, for years ago, and have many good friends down there. My good friend Dave W3WKP down in South Alexandria. And fairly often, both on business and on social stuff. K3YA, Silver Spring, W3EMB. Did you do that DC610 modification yourself? Charlie, go ahead.
K3YA. Well, DC610 isn't really modified. It has one little capacitor bypassing the overload relay, so it doesn't talk back quite as much. But it's pretty much a stock DC610 with you know, quality audio going into it. I don't use the speech amp. I just run processed audio through a distribution amplifier that goes to all the transmitters here, so they all get fed the good audio. And that's what it is. So you've collected some fine gear there. I guess you're a Collins collector, huh? I'm a fan of the old gray Collins. I like the old stuff, not the light gray. The old dark St. James gray. And have collected some over the years. I don't have the big transmitter you have. I have its little brothers. I have a couple of the 30Ks here. 30K1 and the 30K4, and some of the 32Vs, the various receivers, various A-line receivers. Although I favor the R390A as the station receiver here. So, but you found yourself some really good goodies, and this stuff is not easy to find anymore. Used to be you were around for a long time. It used to be you could find some AmFest. People just wanted that old junk out of there. Now it's desirable collectibles. 25 years off the air. That's a long time. Glad you got back. I was back in the 80s, 1980s mostly, and then I got into DXing for a while on this band and other things, and so I'm sort of returning to my roots here on the AM, 75 meter AM buzz. I'll be free, UMD from K3YA.
Yeah, very good, K3YA, W3MD. What's going on here? Oh, well, I'm looking at my envelope and I'm seeing all this kind of hum on it. High frequency, not low frequency. Yeah, it's high frequency. Well, I don't know. I'll have to think some more. I guess that's always the way it is with this stuff. I'm seeing a higher frequency modulation on the envelope. I don't know where that's coming from. I have a simple processor in here. It's a 528E, Symmetrix 528E. And it's just, you know, a three-band equalizer. And it's got compression. I got using the compression to limit the, basically using it as a limiter. Because the broken limiter from the phones, everybody takes that out. The low-level limiter and the high-level limiters that were built into the Collins originally to keep it level at 100% modulation at a kilowatt input. Everybody takes that out, so everybody who uses one of these things uses some amount of processing and a good scope to watch what's going on. Because otherwise you have no real control. It's very interesting that in the manual for this thing, they do not publish what the modulator cathode current should be look like. Because how many milliamps it should be, they just don't even give a value for it. Because when the rig was originally built, it was set up in such a way with the limiter, a clipper on a limiter, that you couldn't over-modulate. And the instructions in the manual simply say, turn off the audio gain until it starts to sound bad. So, you have to have an external means of watching the modulation. And that's what I got here. I said I went out to Dayton and got one of these nice little Google Spark, which I'm very pleased with at the moment. But I have to find out where this extraneous signal is coming from. I got both sweeps going, both signals, the audio's on one and the envelope's on the other. And I don't see this high frequency thing on the audio, just on the carrier. So, something else to worry about. So far on the DC610, and having done very little to it, I wonder what tube complement you're running in the DC610. And at this time. But becoming a Collins collector, and an old gear Collins collector, is just something that fell on me out of heaven. One day I had, last summer, last July, I had the 2-meter FM on, which I never have on, and ran into a guy on a local repeater who was coming from an estate, helping a widow settle an estate. And he said, well, I got rid of all the good stuff, and I got these two pieces of rock. I have no idea what they are, whether they work. He said, are you interested? I said, well, maybe. I said, what are they? He said, well, they look like they have Collins labels on them. And so my ears poke up, and so I went over to his place across the river here. And there was a 75S1, 32V3. Plugged them both in. Neither of them worked. So I said, how much you want for them? He said, well, give me 20 bucks. So that's what I did. And in a couple weeks, I got them both working. The biggest problem with 32V3 was the famous K2R1 relay was all dirty and corroded and stuff. And the 75 one just had a bunch of dirty switches. Just rotated the switches 50 times and everything started to work. That's how I got into it. I did end up with the 32V3 disease. One day the low voltage transformer filled the room with
smoke and burning potting and
melting potting dripping out and
stuff like that.
It shorted out.
And that's a very common failure mode for the 32V series. And sent it up to Gary at, up in Maine. WZ1M's on his car, and he rewound it, and it's been well behaved ever since. That's all I can say. But I haven't really had it on the air very much since I got this big rig about a month ago.
So I just arrived,
and I'll be here for the weekend from New York. And unfortunately, I'm here by myself. My wife has work obligations in the city. K3YA, Silver Spring, W3EMD.
What was the call again? W2BVM. We'll turn it over to you in a moment. K3YA. Very good, Buzz. Well, first of all, I hear nothing on your signal. I don't hear any buzzies or anything. Maybe you got some RF in the pickup or head loop or something on the RF pickup. And, good deal on you. How you came to acquire all your collection. A lot of the stuff I have here is from a long time ago. One of the 30Ks was a Hamfest find. Like I said, it used to be easy to find the stuff. Now it's getting harder. Although, I think it's going to turn around, because I think there's fewer and fewer people who know what this old gear is. And, as their owners move on, you start to see some of this stuff come available. Some goes to the collector, ain't worth a big money, and some of it, like you, you acquire, just becomes available quite reasonably. Congratulations on your finds there. DC-16 has a 250th in the final, and it's modulated by a pair of 100THs, with 2A3s driving the 100THs for audio. So this is outboard audio up to the 2A3s, to the grids of the 2A3s, and it's all stocked from there on. So I bet there's a ton of these transmitters still hiding out here and there in people's basements and barns and all. But I do enjoy the very primitive old BC-6 head. Let me turn over to the other station. My name is Charlie, located in Silver Spring, Maryland, near Washington, D.C. And W2BVM, and the group, this is K3YA.
Romeo,
Yeah, fine, Jim. Yeah, W2BVM, W3MB. Yeah, I see. We spoke about a week ago, a month ago. Yeah, there you are. On the 2nd of June. And we talked a bit about the fact that you're in Vernon and I'm in the satellite business. And everybody in the satellite business knows Vernon. We're a bunch of big Earth stations. That's quite clear. yeah, the Apache sounds good. It doesn't have too much bass in the audio. I don't know if you're using a D-104 with it. Or if you have increased the input, the first good leak resistor there, if you use 5 or 6 mega ohms, that's an easy fix. If you're using a crystal type mic and you want to get more bass, that's the first thing to do is make sure that the input resistor is north of 5 mega ohms, even 10 mega ohms, some people use. But the signal strength is very good and doing very well up here. Charlie, on the BC-6 pump. Yeah, I had forgotten the 250 THs and 100 THs. I was just reading an article that said that those tubes were getting a little bit hard to find these days. Original tailors, in particular, are almost non-existent. But the Chinese or somebody, I think it's Chinese, are making the equivalent of a 75 TH, which in some ways is pin for pin replacement for 100 TH. And okay, on the outboard audio chain, yes, it sure does sound like it. It certainly does sound very, very good. I can believe that it's not the original audio chain. Especially given Jim's comment that his dad complained about the BC-610 was that it had bad audio. So, it really sounds very, very good. Your processing is excellent. And probably much more sophisticated than what I have here. As I said, this is just Symmetrics. Picked up on eBay for just $200. I was talking with, Stu, about what I ought to get, and he said, you either spend a fortune and get a real professional board, or just get yourself a Symmetrics. So I'm not as much of an audio perfectionist as, people like KC10IR and I think you down there, Charlie. I don't think I've ever had a rig that's had audio processing. Well, actually, the Elecraft K3 has processing in it, and you can adjust it. But I've never touched it. I just left it at the factory settings. When I got back on air about 5 years ago, when we got this place, I had a little ICOM 702 for a while. It was a piece of junk, at least as far as the receiver was concerned. And finally got the Elecraft in 2009, and it's just incredible for the receiver in it. And I'm afraid it makes the 7504 that I'm using now look like what it is, a large piece of iron. But I guess that's the difference between 2008 technology and 1955 or 1954 technology. Back down to you, Bill. And fine, by the way, I heard you say you were slowly but surely getting a lot of your older equipment back in running condition. That's great. I don't have anything to say. I was very active years and years ago, and then spent about 20 years overseas around the world. I was over in Japan for 16 years, and a little bit. I had a call sign over there for a little while, but really didn't get active, and then moved back to the U.S. eventually to New York City. And that's an impossible operating location. So didn't get back on the air until we got this place in late 2007. KC2IFR with W2BVM, W3EMV. What did I say? I didn't mean to say that. I meant to say K3YA with W2BVM, W3EMD. Go ahead, Charlie.
Okay, W3EMD, K3YA. Yeah, real good guy there. Jim. Jim, the Apache sounds all right. Sounds like an Apache. You know, they can be made to sound just like a broadcast transmitter if you dig into them enough. Anyway, yours is working well. And of course, Buzz, your extra power is welcome here this evening. Briefly here, the processing, Buzz, I'm using is not very sophisticated. I'm using Electrovoice 664, which is really a public address microphone, but has a nice presence rise in it for radio. And an old late 70s vintage processor, Pacific Recorders and Engineering processor, which is a dual limiter. It's a slow AGC and a fast AGC in one box. And that's it. So yeah, a little mixer here, but it's a public address style mixer, but it's not a really broadcast.